What do you mean, Roy? My name's Jeff.
Well, come here, Jeff, and get grooving. You been uptown?
No, I ain't been uptown, but I've been around.
You mean to say you ain't been uptown?
No, I ain't been uptown. What's uptown?
Ooh, if it's pleasure you're about, and you feel like stepping out, all you've got to shout is, let me off uptown.
Huh, let me see if I got that straight. If it's rhythm that I feel, then it's nothing to conceal. All I've got to spiel is, let me off uptown.
Yeah, you got that right.
Patricia, oh, Patricia. Say, I feel something.
What you feeling, Jeff? The heat?
No, it must be that uptown rhythm. I feel like blowing.
Well, blow, Jeff, blow.
It's the weekend of June 4th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat.
How are you, Jeff?
Is it Roy or is it Jeff? You know, that song is caught my eye this week. But, you know, in Dallas, we have an uptown, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But you don't have to take the train to go uptown. And you know what I found out this week? I did a little research, and I found out that New York City copied Dallas's uptown. Did you know that when you get on a train in Manhattan, you either go south or north, downtown or uptown? They stole uptown from our neighborhood.
Oh, I don't believe that.
And we have a shopping center, very hip, trendy shopping center, just opened up called West Village. Guess what? New York stole it.
And what did they do to get Soho?
Soho, that's SoMo, south of Mockingbird, where I live.
SoMo.
They stole it. They got south of Houston.
SoMo.
SoMo. I don't think I've ever heard anybody refer to where I live as SoMo, but they
let's
do.
Start doing it.
I know. I think it's kind of funny, but they do call my neighborhood the M Streets, which after they did that, you know who stole that?
New York?
Nope, Washington, D.C. They named one of their streets M Street.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a big ripoff, if
you
ask me.
Do you remember when you lived near Susan? What did you call that area?
The Higher Love District. Only Susan, myself, you, and Wei Xing called it the Higher Love District. And the idea there, it was adjacent to Lover's Lane and Higher Street in the Park Cities. And I thought it would always be fun to go to the airport, tell the taxi cab driver, take me to Higher Love. it never really caught on, though.
Well, you said that a couple of times, and they basically kicked you out of the taxi cab, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was not a pretty scene. it's June.
It's June.
June has bloomed, baby. And you know what is fun about June? You know what I love?
What do you love about
June? I love voting for podcasts.
Ah, yes. Well, you love voting for podcasts, not just in June.
Not just in June. I love doing it at the beginning of the month. In fact, Jimmy Sutherland and myself got together and did a little song about it.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because last week you were dissing on him for not, you know, knowing only one song. Are you happy with his ability to learn new songs?
Jimmy came through.
Okay, good. Well,
Jimmy came through.
I'm excited to hear the song.
All right, let's give it a listen.
Podcasting style, truer than the iPod to you. Love, podcasting style, that's me and you. It's that time of the month again.
Seems to come so fast.
Spread some love to your favorite podcasters. We don't ask much, but to just listen and
do tell all your friends.
So vote for those that you adore. Everybody now. Podcasting style, truer than the iPod you use. Love podcasting style. That's me and you.
I feel like blowing. No, okay, here we go.
That song is so funny, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I as Jimmy and I were kind of penciling it out, I was wondering how many of our listeners are actually going to get it. I mean, that's an old sitcom from the 70s that, you know, was barely popular then.
No, that's not true. I think it was hugely popular. I remember, maybe because I was a teenage girl, I loved Love American
Style. I used
to
love it too.
Really?
Because I was like a teenage boy. Yeah, I loved it.
It was the best show.
But I don't think it was lasted that many seasons. I don't think it was that popular. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Do they play it in reruns? Have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen it in reruns. That's a good point.
Probably people are saying, wow, they wrote that song. That's cool.
Well, you know, getting back to the point of that song, I think it was to just encourage our listeners. If you've been listening to our show and you like it, we'd really appreciate your taking a few seconds to vote. And also, don't forget, you can also vote for all of the other podcasts that you listen to and like. It's not about, you know, you can only vote for one person. It's about spreading the love.
Yeah, and you'll feel great doing it. Whenever I'm done at the beginning of the month, I go through my, you know, 10 or 20 favorite podcasts, and I just feel great. It makes me feel good. The other thing you can do for us and for the other podcasts you enjoy is tell your friends. We need to get more people listening to podcasts. And so tell your friends that you've stumbled across some things that you're getting a lot of entertainment out of, and, you know, take it from there. So that's cool.
And if you've already voted, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. We do appreciate it. Okay, well, still on that beginning of June theme, there's a couple things I wanted to share with you guys. First of all, Flag Day is coming up. And Pat is laughing because last week she came over to the studio and looked at my tattered and raggedy flag out in the front of my house.
It was a disgrace.
It looked like it had been through the Battle of 1812. So, and I knew it. I just been lazy about putting it away. So when she flagged that, I immediately, you know, took it in. Now,
Bought a new one.
Yeah, and I bought a new one. It looks great.
Where did you buy that?
Michaels.
Okay, that was nice.
Yeah, and it was fairly cheap, $16.
That's really
They also had like a $10 version that was, this is nylon and that one was cloth. But I figured, well, how do I get rid of my old flag? Mm-hmm. I was going to throw it away.
Yeah.
And then I thought, am I being sensitive? I better look on the internet. There's probably some fancy rules about getting rid of a flag.
Yes.
And
so I know what you did. You flushed it down the toilet.
God, don't even say that. We got all these irate people back. No, but here's, I learned a lot of things. Here's what you're supposed to do, Pat. Do you know, by the way?
Well, I don't know. Tell me.
Okay. Well, if it's a cloth flag, you're supposed to fold it in a certain way. And again, the instructions are on the web. And you are supposed to, and this surprised me a little bit, you're supposed to burn it.
Oh!
Can you believe that? But if it's folded a certain way, and I didn't look at all the details, there's even some sort of ceremony.
But now, let me ask you something. Is it that triangle form that they, is that what they showed how to fold?
I think it is, but I didn't get into the detail, okay. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I wasn't going to go through the ceremony here on my own. But here's the deal. You can give your old cloth flags to any American Legion post. Their volunteers every morning, because it has to happen at a certain time of day, every morning their volunteers take flags, that old flags people have given them for disposal, and go through this formal ceremony with them. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. And if you have a nylon flag, you cannot do that because it doesn't burn. But you give the nylon flags to Girl Scouts. And I should have delved into the details on that. I don't know what they do with them. I'm being serious, though. And so anyways, I still have my flag, and I guess I'm going to have to look up the American Legion. I want to do it properly and respectfully, but it does kind of call to wonder about what do other countries have this conniption with flags? And do most people really just throw their flags out, or do they go through this?
I would think, I bet other countries have the same sorts of thoughts about it because it's a symbol and it's an important symbol.
It is.
And I do think that, I mean, you know, when I came over and I brought you that flag in, I told you, I said, Jeff, you know, I don't think you can just throw it away. Your first instinct was, no, I think I can throw it away, right?
Right.
You probably only went to the internet because I planted that seed in. And you're a pretty educated person. So I do think a lot of people don't think twice about it. And, you know.
Well, I read a little bit further and it did sort of, because I was sort of wondering, I understand why maybe, you know, flushing it down the toilet or just throwing it away haphazardly is a little bit of a disrespect, but I wanted to find out more. And it basically said because the flag can get in, if it's thrown in the regular garbage, it can be being given into
foreign enemy hands.
Enemy hands. But that doesn't really ring true because you can buy a flag at the store for $10, $16 or whatever. So, but I think it's more about respecting and doing what's respectful. And so, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, June is also the month of many things, and I think the biggest one is National Safety Month.
Oh, good.
And the slogan this month is Safety Where We Live, Work, and Play. And I'm going to post a website. There's a daily safety tip. Today's tip is cell phone in the car usage. And the instructions are, if you're going to make a cell phone call on your car, step aside, get to the side of the road and stop your vehicle, or wait until you get to work.
Yeah, I always do that.
I think everybody does that.
Well, you know, I was watching the Today Show, and now I think it was in D.C., the cops there are using infrared glasses to catch people who don't have their seatbelts on.
Really?
Yes.
They would pull you over. Cause it used to be a supplemental thing. They'd pull you over if you were found doing something else, and then they'd slap that on also if they noticed you didn't have it. So are you saying they're pulling people over strictly for
the seatbelt? Failing to wear the seatbelt.
Wow.
And they were talking about how they had fairly high compliance on wearing the seatbelt. But I think maybe it's at night people tend to wear it less, or there is some weird thing. And that's what they're trying to increase compliance during that time frame.
Well, I guess it'll be interesting to see the before and after effects. I always believe in sort of these, you know, police forces and doing experiments like this to see if, you know, if it brings down accidental problems and things like that.
Well, of course, the big hue and cry over it is invasion of privacy.
True.
So, you know, but the police guy basically said, it's not invasion of privacy. It's no different than during the day when you're watching people and you can actually see that they don't have their seatbelts on. At night, you can't see as well. So now we're using these infrared devices and we can see better. So that was his rationale.
You know, I have to say, from a political angle, I don't like to get too political, though sometimes I do. You know, I never really understood the motorcycle helmet laws, and I don't really understand the seatbelt laws either, because I understand, you know, the drinking while driving laws. It seems like society should prevent stupid people from doing other things to innocent people. But if you're stupid not wearing a helmet while you're on a motorcycle, all you can do is hurt yourself. And to me, it doesn't matter that much.
Same with
seatbelts.
I think that it's not that simple, Jeff, because if you have an accident and you hurt yourself, well, number one, and this is not in order of importance, trust me, but you can cause a big old traffic jam. There's lots of people who now are not getting to work on time because there are emergency vehicles pulled over everywhere trying to get this accident out of the way.
But if you had that wouldn't matter if you had a helmet or not, would it?
Oh, good point. I'm a retard. Let's move on to the next topic.
Okay. Well, let me go.
No, coming back to it, I'm not going to concede that easily. I think that there are additional costs. There probably are additional costs for a person harming themselves to society rather than just, you know, them causing harm to themselves.
Well, that's
so we bear that burden.
True. Right.
And, you know, in that regard, society's trying to say, it's, you know, we don't want you out there being reckless because it costs us money, you being reckless.
Well, and I don't disagree with that.
I've always
supported the funding of government education for things like, hey, you should wear your motorcycle helmets because we've done research to find that, you know, you're going to die if you don't. And seatbelts, you should all do it. And I believe in broadcasting that and paying the money to broadcast that information. I don't know if I agree with enforcing it.
But you do, I bet, agree with enforcing it for minors.
Absolutely, without a doubt, yes.
So you think adults should be able to decide not to wear their seatbelts or not, but if they have
children... That's my inclination, correct.
They should have to... The children should have to wear them, and the children should also be put in those seatbelts.
Without a doubt.
I mean, those car seats.
Correct, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Okay. What else do we have?
Well, on this one thing, I did find what I thought were some interesting figures on the net on safety. This is for the top six causes of unintentional deaths, essentially accidental deaths. Number one is motor vehicles. That comes as no surprise. Number two, make a guess.
Number two, smoking in bed.
Surprisingly now, number two is falls.
Oh, falls. Huh.
People falling. So I'm guessing this is mostly the elderly. But who knows? Falls. Number three, again, is surprising. Number three is poisoning.
Poisoning.
And I'm guessing that's more children getting into the wrong sort of drugs and things. But I don't know.
No, it's not wives getting rid of their husbands?
It could be that, too. Maybe there's a lot more of that going on than I think. The fourth one is drowning.
Drowning. Hmm.
Fifth one is fires and smoke, which would go with your smoking in the bed. And then the sixth one is suffocate.
Oh,
suffocation. So which one would you enjoy the most?
I think I would enjoy suffocation.
Yes, I think I would enjoy that too. That'd be a lot of fun. Good times.
Let's practice it.
Okay, let me suffocate you first and see how you enjoy it. Let's see how close we can take each other to death without actually going there. And then have sexual stimulation right at that point.
Oh, no.
Isn't that something, like some sort of freak out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not us.
Okay. Damn.
We're normal. Normal. Hey, I've got one for you, Jeff.
Sure.
June is American Beer Month.
I didn't. In the research that I had Josh doing for me, he didn't come up with that one. But I think it's because he was busy drinking the beer because they just finished up finals. So I didn't see a lot of Josh this week.
American Beer Month is a time to learn about, seek out, and enjoy great American brews. So they have 6 weeks of this. So actually, it starts in the middle of June and goes into July also.
You know, it's funny because I was at World Market last night and I bought all kinds of beer. I thought, a little bit side tangent, but I thought I am not. Every time I drink now, I get sleepy, and it's because I don't drink very often anymore as I get older.
Because you're old.
Well, I had decided, I love beer. I love good beer. Not like you. Not like that bad stuff you drink.
I love Miller Lite.
Ugh. So I bought a bunch of beer, and I'm so far I've been doing it every night. I'm drinking one beer, just like my dad does, and I'm trying to build tolerance again.
Every once in a while, I'll enjoy a Bud Light.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Well, so they have a week to experience and enjoy wheat beers. And
wheat
then
beer's good.
Pilsners.
Pilsner's awesome.
American Pale Ale.
That's my favorite.
I think I just like saying that word, American Pale Ale.
I love the pale ales, especially the India Pale Ales, which are even hoppy than the pale ales.
Then there's a week of brown ales.
Brown ales are okay.
American Amber Ale.
Amber Ale's good.
And finally, the India Pale Ale.
That's my favorite.
Why do they call it India?
You know, it's a good question. The reason is because the British developed it for their, remember when they were in India, for their folks in India. And because India was so hot, they put more hops into their beer to make it preserve better in the hot weather. And it got to be known as a special brew, and they called it India Pale Ale for that reason. So it's more hoppy than your typical pale ale.
Interesting. Okay.
Bet you didn't think I knew that.
I didn't think you knew that. Rats.
Rats.
I don't know how that makes that any safer.
I don't know either. Okay. I'm going to rattle off a bunch of these. Apparently, I think it's because due to our show, people are coming up with things of the June. Now, this is serious, though. These are all the things that June is. It's Gay Pride Month.
Yay.
It's Adopt a Shelter Cat
Woo!
Month. It's Fresh Fruit or Vegetable Month.
Yes.
I kid you not. It's Dairy Month.
Yeah.
It is Skin Cancer Month. I mean, this real. You think I'm making this up, but I'm not. It's Papaya Month.
Papaya Month.
It's Iced Tea Month. It's Frozen Yogurt Month. I'm serious. And finally, you'll love this one. It's Candy Month.
Candy Month.
It really is. But I got to admit, I found it on one website. When I tried to Google Candy Month June, I found nothing. So I don't know what they do to celebrate Candy Month.
Oh, I see. Well, it's also Brain Injury Awareness Month.
Really? No.
It is.
Wow. Man, this is a heck of a month. We have a lot of reading to do.
Yeah.
Pushes, and the romping river pushes every little wheel that wheels beside a mill. The feeling is getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on the fence, because it's June.
Well, I also wanted to, you know, taking into this theme a little bit deeper down, I guess. I was looking into what happened, what important things happened on June 5. And here are a few things.
Because although we call our show June 4th, we're recording it today on June 5th.
On June 5th. On June 5th, 1956, Elvis Presley sang Hound Dog on the Milton Berle show.
All right.
Oh, and now this one. In 1977, on June 5th, the Apple II, the first practical personal computer, goes on sale.
Wow.
Let me tell you about it. It used MOS technology on a 6502 microprocessor.
Made by Micro...
TI?
I was going to say Microsoft, Motorola.
Oh, okay. 1 megahertz, 4KB RAM. It used an audio cassette interface. And it had the Integer Basic program built into the ROM.
Do you want to hear a story?
No, wait. You could save and retrieve programs and data on audio cassettes. The 4K version sold for $1,298. You could have the 48K for $2,638.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you, so you understand how relative these numbers are. In 1977, the median family income was $16,000.
Wow.
And you could get a 48K computer for $2,600.
That is significant.
Significant. And now what did you know that the iRiver I bought that had 512K?
Yeah.
What was it, $120?
$120. No, I don't. It's not a story. It's just that the first PC I ever worked on was in 1981. Did you ever meet my friend Schultze?
No.
I don't know if you ever did. He and I worked for the government one summer, and we had a Apple II, and we built on using BASIC programming language and inventory control system.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're really old.
Woe is me.
Well, as far as birthdays, and this is for our libertarian friends, and in 1723, Adam Smith was born. He's a Scottish economist. In 1883, John Maynard Keynes was born, and he's an English economist,
yeah.
And he's regarded as the father of modern macroeconomics.
Right. Keynesian theory.
Yeah. A couple of interesting things. He was 6 feet, 9 inches.
I didn't know that.
And when I read about him, it said he started out as a homosexual. So he was, you know.
He converted?
Well, yes, because he got married.
Wow.
But he was...
I didn't think there was conversion.
This was in 1980... He was born, sorry, in 1883. And finally, this is for my friend Lance Anderson at the Verge of the Fringe. In 1941, on June 5th, Spalding Gray was born. He's a monologist. I'm going to say monologist, even though I think one of our...
Monologist.
I
don't know.
One of our listeners told me is monologist. But that's a weird word. I can't say that.
You know, that's a heck of a day for birthdays, then. Those are famous people.
Maybe I don't really want to know how you got in grows, 'cause I just want to fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain as it soaks you to the bone? Maybe I just want to fly, want to live, but don't want to die. Just wanna breathe, maybe I just don't believe. Maybe you're the same as me. We see things I'll never see. You and I are gonna live forever. I said maybe.
Well, the other last thing on June that I wanted to mention was we've got 4 stamps that are being out this month.
Ooh.
By famous scientists. And the first one is thermodynamicist Joshua Willard Gibbs, Oh, and I'll read a little bit. Over the course of his career, Gibbs made important contributions to vector analysis, electromagnetic theory, and statistical mechanics, but he's best known for developing the modern thermodynamic analysis.
I have never heard of him.
Me neither. And you know, I had, as all engineers have to take thermo in like freshman year or something. I hated it. I hated thermodynamics. So, Joshua Willard Gibbs, I curse you. No, I don't mean that. I respect your scientific abilities. Geneticist. I'm an idiot. I'm a freaking idiot. Barbara McClintock. In 1983, she received the Nobel Prize in the category of psychology or medicine for discovering genetic transposition, basically as a discovery that genetic material can change positions on a chromosome or move from one chromosome to another. So I believe that evolved to sort of be a lot of the gene splicing and cloning and stuff that's going on now.
Cool.
All right. Mathematician John von Neumann. Now, we've both heard of von Neumann.
What, me worry?
Yeah. He's a machine. He developed the machine that became a model for the modern computer, the von Neumann machine. Mathematical foundation for quantum physics is what he developed. And he came up with game theory and economic behavior.
Oh.
I always thought, and I have a master's degree in operations research, I always thought game theory was pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Do they play game theory on the Xbox?
They have an Xbox version now, and the idea is you terminate your mathematician. Finally, physicist Richard Feynman.
Love Richard Feynman.
Feynman is a cool freaking dude, man. His new formulation of quantum theory included innovative diagrams, now called Feynman diagrams, devised to help visualize the dynamics of atomic particles.
Well, you know, he wrote a book called Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman.
Really?
Did you ever read that book?
No, I never did.
It's not a well-written book from a literary perspective, but he is such a fascinating person. I mean, he was a genius.
Yeah.
But in addition, he was a very extroverted person and very inquiring and interesting. And he's just – it's a great book if you want to read about a scientist in the mind of a wacky man.
He's a neat guy. We love science here at the This and That podcast.
You say I just can't stay here every yesterday, like keep on acting out the same way we act out, every way to smile, forget and make believe we never needed any more than this, any more than this.
Well, I listened to some podcasts over the week. Jeff, did you listen to any new ones?
I did. I have some new ones to report.
You do? Okay. Well, let me tell you a couple that I listened to. One of them was a fairly new one, and I'm going to screw up the pronunciation of this, but I think it's Podictionary. So what
sounds like it's be right up your alley.
It's a podcast where this guy gives you in about, you know, 1.5 to 2 minutes, he talks to you about a new word, and it's called a podcast for word lovers. But it's very different than the Word Nerds podcast, Jeff, which, as you know, is probably about a 20 to 35 minute.
Right.
And there's usually two or three guys that talk about words.
Right.
His first one gave you the information about psychiatry and psychology and kind of the root words behind them in their history. And the second one I listened to was Chauffeur. And I thought it was I enjoyed it. I mean, it was very word nerdly, and I liked it a lot.
Cool.
The other one I listened to was Eat Feed, and it is a podcast that's highly produced. The woman who does it, I think her name is Anne Bramley, and she talks about food. And the one I listened to was called The Art of Breakfast. And I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I want to listen to it when I have more time. She was talking about free-range chickens, and I learned so much listening to it. And she has a great voice, an easy manner, a really enjoyable podcast if you like food and learning about food stuff.
I've heard good things about that podcast.
She's really great.
Oh, very good.
It's going to become a regular for me. I'm going to subscribe.
Well, when I first heard of Eat Feed, it's not something I would listen to because I'm just not that much of a foodie, but I instantly thought of you. And in fact, I'm surprised you haven't heard it until now.
So. Yeah, the funny part is that I read the descriptions and it didn't appeal to me
some
reason. And I just decided I had to try it because I am a food lover.
Yeah.
And I was very pleasantly surprised. She does a great, great job.
Oh, very nice. Well, the two that I listened to this week, oh, actually, I listened to some more, but I won't talk about podcasts I didn't like. first of all, this is not quite fair in the same category because it's more of a professional show, but I really like the Rachel Maddow show. It's been in the top five now on Top Alley. It's more produced. It's part of the Year America station. But she's very well prepared. She's got interns to actually do work and do research for her. And
unlike Josh?
Yeah. She comes up with stories that are important to her. And
how long is it?
It's typically, it's an hour show, but the podcast is actually about 35 to 40 minutes because she cuts out a bunch of stuff. So I guess the version that's on the air is an hour. So I went out running yesterday morning, and I got the whole show in my run.
Really?
So it's pretty good. I can't say I listen to it every single day, you know, but I like it, and she's good. A true podcast is a small...
Oh, wait a second. I want to mention something about her.
Oh, sure.
Because I did read a little bit about her. She is the first gay person who got a Rhodes Scholarship.
Oh, so I didn't realize she was gay. Okay.
That's, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not outing her. It's on her,
you right.
know, if you go to the website.
You heard it here first.
But, you know, I don't know if many of you know anything about how difficult it is to get a Rhodes Scholarship. It's just not easy.
The two that I have, unbelievably hard.
Well, you know, when I was, I met a guy when I was in ROTC summer camp. His name was Dino. Well, I know.
Dino had a Rhodes Scholar?
No, Dino applied for a Rhodes Scholarship. He did not get it, but
no,
Dino...
No, they don't give it to guys with names of Dino.
Dino is one of the smartest people I know, and he got a scholarship to MIT, he got a degree in electrical engineering. He was valedictorian. He did a bazillion things, if you know...
Smart academic, everything going for him, and he couldn't even
exactly,
make it, huh?
Exactly, and he didn't make, make the cut for a Rhodes Scholarship.
Yeah.
You have to be really one of the most, you know... Who to get a Rhodes Scholarship.
And now they've added that criteria where you have to have a podcast. Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
I think that's a really good criteria.
It is. I'm going to apply for our Rhodes Scholarship sometime soon.
You're too old, dude.
Was there an age requirement?
Yeah.
Dang. All right. The other podcast I listened to was Small World, hosted by a fella named that goes by Bazooka Joe. I love this. I love that name, you know. But what he does, his idea is everybody's got a story to tell. And he goes around and interviews people. Some of his interviews go 7 minutes. Some go 30 minutes or so. All kinds of different people that he meets up with. And what a lot of people are doing that sort of paradigm in podcasting. But what I like about his is he's really good at it. I like his personality style. I like his interviewing style. Gets into his topic and sort of lets his interviewee tell his story.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. And so he's really good. And in fact, the last one I listened to was yesterday in the car. He was interviewing the guy that does a podcast called History According to Bob.
Ooh.
And it was a fascinating interview, and it makes me want to go get that podcast. Bob is a professor. He's so into history. He's one of these guys that, as he was going through his spiel, when he was a kid, he was really into Napoleon's whole era. And he made a kind of a joke that the Napoleonic Wars were the last wars where men really dressed up for it and looked good. So he's just got a cool perspective, and it makes me want to go listen to the podcast. So I would definitely check out Small World. It looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the world, myself.
Were you ready to talk about 7-Eleven?
If you got something, baby, I'm there.
I've got something.
All right, well, let me cue up the music here.
Cue up the music. It's the best.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
7-Eleven.
Thank heaven.
It's time for that 7-Eleven update.
Well, this week I went into 7-Eleven and I was starving, so I went over to get one of their Big Eat sandwiches. I don't know if you've ever had the Big Eat sandwiches.
I you know, unlike you, I just don't eat at 7-Eleven much.
Okay.
Big Eats, huh?
Big Eat sandwiches. So that one, my actual favorite is their chicken salad. But I'm a little worried that it might be kind of fattening, so I try and stay away from it. It's so good. So I decided to try something new. It was a turkey sandwich with zesty Havarti cheese on walnut scallion bread.
God, that sounds
accompanied
fancy.
With grilled onions and bacon.
Wow, sounds yummy and fancy. And, you know, you're great, Pat, because you try new things. A lot of people get stuck on the same things.
Oh, it was so good. I've had
really?
Three this week already.
All at the same time?
No, I don't want to. In fact, I had one on my way over here. Did you notice how I didn't bring you breakfast?
Yes, I noticed that.
Uh-huh. I had breakfast.
I'm starved.
Anyway, that was my 7-Eleven minute.
Wow, very good. All right, Pat, I was, you know, have you seen these advertisements? You know, you're clicking through web pages and you come across an advertisement and it's like, hit the baseball and win a free iPod or whatever.
Yes.
You know, make a basket, bowl and strike. Well, have you noticed they're getting more and more aggressive lately?
No.
Well, first of all, last year I think they had hit the baseball and all that. Very innocent, nice. Last year they started getting into punch George Bush, a frog catch a fly and eat it with your tongue, and they had hunters shooting a duck.
Uh-huh.
Well, lately this week I've seen hit the mailbox with a bat. So you're in a car. This is literally, it's an advertisement.
It's rednecky.
And you go through with a baseball bat and hit mailboxes, and then you win like a free iPod.
I think that appeals to all of our inner
it
kids.
Does. This is the ultimate one. Shoot your coworker. I swear to God, I'm not lying. I can't make this stuff up. It's shoot your coworker. They show an office with business guys walking around, and you shoot your coworker. What does this say about our society?
That's not good.
So I came up with a few ideas for what I think we'll be seeing in the next couple of years.
Okay, let's hear them.
The first one is take a dump on the moving baby. I think we're going to see it. You laugh now. Kick grandma. Grandma will be moving about trying to get away, and you try to kick her with your mouse. And then I hate to say this one, but...
Does it involve cats?
No. Abort the fetus with a cord hanger. Hey, we're going to see it.
We're going
to
see it.
We're going to see it. It's coming to a computer screen near you.
You're going to a new level of hell now, Jeff.
Well, I just
new
couldn't...
New level.
I just so inspired when I saw the shoot your coworkers. All right, it's time for the Dallas Minute. Pat, do you have one to start off with?
I do. You know, one of the things that I've been living in Dallas so long, I don't know if this is a facet of Dallas or not, but one of the things I've noticed is that there'll have a lot of shopping establishments that come and go, and it's, I mean, I'm not too troubled by it, but it just seems to be something that happens all the time. So, for example, remember many years ago when we used to go out to big clubs? Remember when Martini Ranch was around? It was like the hot place to go.
Yeah.
A year later, cold
gone.
Place.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's many, many other
so
places
many.
That are just like that. Restaurants that open and close in no time at all, like Aquanox. Remember that Stephen Piles over
right.
there on Knox Henderson? And
right.
now it's... Now I think it's a Pottery Barn.
Now it's a Pottery Barn.
Well, so...
Still serving great sushi at the Pottery Barn. No, not.
And over there on Preston and Northwest Highway, they had a Sprint store. It's now E-Trade.
See, I haven't been over there for a while since I moved away from that neighborhood.
There was a storehouse, and now it's a Tootsie upscale women's clothing.
Okay.
Then there is a Bed Bath & Beyond, which I think everybody likes Bed Bath & Beyond. It's gone.
It's very expensive, though.
It's still, I can't believe it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are places I just happened to notice recently. But a street I go up and down all the time, so much so that I almost barely notice anything new, of course, is Lover's Lane on my way from my house to Susan's.
Sure. Sure.
So I had some time to kill yesterday when I was waiting to pick Belle up from her grooming session. And I decided to go to these new stores. I went to this one place called Pink and another place called Lulu. Now, Lulu sells shoes. It was very unique and interesting shoes. And Pink sells interesting underwear, lingerie, and stuff like that.
Really?
Yes. But those two were not my most enjoyable finds. My most enjoyable find is this pastry boutique and studio called Tarte.
Tarte. They call it a studio?
They call it a studio.
They don't call it a bakery anymore.
No, it's a pastry boutique and studio. Anyway, I went in there.
And get your hair done with pastries in it?
No.
I don't get the name.
It's right over there at the intersection of Lover's Lane and Inwood. And it's where, do you remember where Angela's used to be?
Oh, yeah.
I used to go to that. I think it's in that space.
Angela's is not there anymore?
No, Angela's on the other side.
Oh.
It's a much, much bigger restaurant.
Got it.
Anyway, I went in there and looked around, and they had beautiful pastries in there. And the young woman that owns the store, she owns it with her sister, and she has a fairly impressive training in pastry and culinary arts, but I can't remember where she's from. And she's cute, too. So if any of you guys out there live in Dallas, you need to get some pastries and you want to buy good pastries from a cute girl, go to Tarte.
I want to buy pastries from a cute girl.
Tarte, Jeff.
I want. Is she a Tarte?
I guess so. She was cute as a Tarte.
Oh, very good.
A tartatine.
Ah, very good.
That's it.
Well, my Dallas Minute is I went to a restaurant that I hadn't been to for a while, still getting great reviews from the Dallas Morning News. It's called Royal Thai, and it's in that Old Town Shopping Center in Upper Greenville. And not very impressed, I got to tell you. We had three dishes. We had a chicken soup, chicken basil soup. We had a calamari curry. And we had what was the other dish that we had? Beef salad, which I always like. I wasn't that impressed. And, you know, one of the things, I was with Amy, who was from Thailand. And I mean, she's never very critical, but, she thought it was pretty good. But the comment that she made is that, you know, Jeff, in Thailand, and apparently Royal Thai is more Bangkok area Thailand. In Thailand, they don't have these vegetables and this stuff.
Hmm.
And it was just, you know, lots of vegetables, sort of like the Chinese food, if you will. Anyways, it was good. I shouldn't diss it too much, but I was a little bit disappointed. I was expecting incredibly great things because, you know, it still gets really good reviews. And it was packed for Saturday night. It was very crowded.
Where is Amy from in Thailand?
She's from the Bangkok area.
Oh, she is.
Yeah, yeah. So she knows Bangkok food. In fact, you know, she went back to Bangkok, I guess it was over Christmas time, and she came back and couldn't eat in a Thai restaurant for like 2 months. I kid you not, because it was so
bad
compared to what she, as she said it, she said, I forgot how Thai food really tastes.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think that you need to have the next barbecue at your house.
Yeah, I agree.
Because we have one at my house, right?
And I've got frozen salmon, fillets. I've got a bunch of stuff for it, too.
Well, so. I also bought a bunch of stuff to make pad thai. So I'm thinking you can be out cooking on the barbecue, and I'll have Amy teach me how to make pad thai.
Let's do it. Make it happen.
All right.
All
how
right.
How about you?
How about next year this time?
Oh, I forgot something else, Jeff.
Sure.
I don't know if you remembered, but I think maybe I didn't tell you this, but last Friday I was supposed to have another It's Just Lunch meeting.
You know, I meant to ask you about that because I thought you had something up scheduled. But
yeah, it didn't happen mainly because I ended up having to do a plant trip unexpectedly, so I didn't make it.
Oh, got it.
But one of the things I wanted to tell you was kind of how, again, the It's Just Lunch people, they've got a way that sort of is annoying to me.
They've got a way about them.
You know how basically people spin things to make, you know, all the good news?
Right.
Right? Well, that is the only way those women at It's Just Lunch know how to deal with anything. So here's what happened when she was trying to tell me, we were trying to coordinate a time that I could meet this guy.
Yeah.
She asked me my times of availability, and basically I'm available anytime. So she calls me up and she said, well, you know, after work doesn't work for him and neither does the weekend. So what about at lunch? And I said, I'm like, excuse me.
First of all, yeah.
Kylie, I'm like, So for the next month, the guy's not available after work or on the weekends?
Is that just his life?
I'm like, do you want to set me up with a guy who's basically never available? And she said, oh, no. He's very available. And, you know, he's very flexible. He'll meet you anywhere for lunch. Well, I felt like saying, well, then he'll come to my cafeteria.
Yeah, sure.
So, and it doesn't work that way. You have to go to designated places. So I said, so where's the closest place that's like on Oak Lawn? And it's this fish place.
Okay.
And I said, oi. I'm like, I don't like fish. And she's like, well, they don't sell, it's not just fish. They also have all of these, you know, other Asian foods. And I'm thinking, yeah, Asian food would be like my least favorite food. So I'm keeping all of these thoughts in my head. And I just said, okay, fine. But it really, I felt like she was just blowing sunshine up my ass when she said, oh, he's really available. You know, there's 5 hours during the week that is lunchtime of the whole, you know, however many hours there are in a week. And he's available during those times. Very available.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Ugh, anyway, so the date, I don't know when it's going to happen, but for all I know, he's not available for lunch anymore either.
Well, he's married, so he's not available after work. But you know, he's available to have sex with you during the day. Craziness.
There you go.
Well, that's going to do our show this week, Pat. I had a lovely time.
Me too.
And hey, don't forget to leave us some feedback. We did get some feedback this week. Thanks a lot, Neil. Thanks for your voicemail from Borderline. That's bdline.net. He sent us a very nice voicemail.
I think we also got some information about what nougat meant from the word nerd guy.
Yeah, and a couple other people sent us stuff on that, too.
A couple other people on what nougat is. It's a nutty, sugary confection.
Yeah, and they basically just thought I had it all wrong. So anyways, leave us voicemail. We love to get that. It's 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. You can email us at Jeff at thisandthatpodcast.com or Pat at thisandthatpodcast.com. Or what else? How else can they get in touch with us?
Well, they can find out what's happening by looking at the blog. You can see pictures of the podcast puppy who's at home right now.
Yeah. Let us know what you guys think about the blog. We'll try to blog daily, I think, is a goal. It's a little bit aggressive, but we just thought it'd be a way for, you know, you guys to keep in touch with what we're doing and, you know.
Give us ideas for shows if you've got any or
yeah,
criticism,
definitely.
Improvements. I always like hearing that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do, too. We take criticism very nicely, unlike some other podcasters.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
Anyway, that's going to do it. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.